Welcome to Hope Blooms, a podcast from the Early Pregnancy Loss Association.
At EPLA, we seek to support women and families suffering early pregnancy loss by providing resources, education, and community. It is our vision that no one suffers miscarriage alone.
Welcome back to Hope Blooms. My name is Maria Serfold.
And I'm Emily Carrington.
With us today is our friend Robin Bertram, one of our volunteers and local supporters here in Hillsdale.
So I'm really excited to have you on the show, Robin. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
So my favorite thing about having Robin on our show, when I asked her, is that Robin started knowing nothing about early pregnancy loss. But she has continued to be one of our biggest supporters and one of our, you know, most helpful, and both in terms of the organization, but I also think in terms of supporting your friends. So I wanted to get you on here to talk about that, because I think people fear, if they don't understand pregnancy loss, we talk about how common it is and how many people have experienced it. And there's a lot of people sort of out there in the shadows that know exactly what we're feeling, but they haven't talked about it. But I think on the flip side, that can sort of alienate people who haven't experienced it at all. And I want today to talk about how there's definitely a space for everyone at the table to support and love the community. So Robin, I just want to start with a little bit about what your experience was, or lack of experience was, and then when you became familiar with miscarriage and early loss. So can you tell us a little bit of just your story of how you got here?
As you noted previously, my story is going to be rather limited. When I first met you, the only experience that I had known with pregnancy loss was my aunt when I was about 7 years old. Mm. I had not had any sisters who had gone through pregnancy loss. I did not have any best friends who had gone through pregnancy loss. I had not traveled that journey myself. And so when I had met you, I didn't have any resources, any relatability to the topic. However, much like when you see somebody across the street fall down, you probably look and go, that looks like it hurt. I should probably help. Mm. Now, I didn't fall down. It doesn't hurt me. I don't know that person. I don't know where they're hurt. I've never traveled it, but I can identify that there is pain being had, and I want to go help in this situation. So that was my story. However, I will note that when I started talking to friends and people that I worked with this agency and that I'm learning so much, and they said, oh, I've had pregnancy loss. And my mother, who has since passed, I was talking to my father and he said, oh, did you know that before we had your brother that we had a miscarriage? Mm. Nope, I did not know that. And so I have friends who go, oh yeah, I had a miscarriage too. And so people are more willing to mention it that I didn't know had gone that journey. Mm-hmm. They had been down that road and I didn't know. But I had nobody close to me that had gone through it. I had not experienced anybody feeling all of the emotions of the journey.
Right, and I think that's really interesting. Sort of as you started to look around and ask and talk, and sort of as time went on, we've talked about this too, right? That people have gotten more comfortable sharing. So I think mm-hmm. it's important that, you know, perhaps if your own mother had had a loss and you didn't know, your life was more touched by it than than you were aware. So tell me a little bit about your experience since then. So then we sort of like roped you in against your will. And I'm like, but you're wonderful, keep helping us. And no, you really, really, really do have something to offer. Can you talk a little bit about sort of how you've been able to help, what you've been able to do, and sort of, you know, have you discovered anything about what you've been able to do and help? And sort of once you got past that, here we are, and now you're with us. How has that changed, and what has been your experience there?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, it's something that if you see somebody going down that journey, you want to say, I want to be involved. I want to help these people out. And so when I had the opportunity to be a warehouse for, you know, the background of this organization, I was more than willing to do that. When we had the opportunity to pack care kits and do some of the logistical organization items and office work that needed to be done, or if I could put my marketing expertise into, you know, an upcoming expo or anything like that. It's something that I definitely wanted to be involved in. I couldn't put a pen to paper and say, I've walked this journey with you. I know what you're feeling. Because I honestly, I don't. And I'm still okay saying, I don't know what your journey is like. And I think that's important that I say that. It's very disconcerting to people who've walked a journey and you go, oh, I can imagine exactly what that. No, you can't. And I understand that. And I realize that one of the most eye-opening moments was when we had had a speaker not too terribly long ago, and she identified, what do you say to somebody who's traveled this? I worked in geriatrics previously, and so I had had a lot of journeys with people who had lost a loved one, but it's a different type of journey. And I know the reaction to what I should say that should make them feel better, and this is what people will want to hear. And it was very educational that I was thinking exactly in the wrong direction and saying, I don't know what to say, but I'm sorry. And just stop and let them talk was insightful to me. And I don't have to offer any guidance or any words that's going to take the pain away. Because when anybody's lost a loved one,
they're no not, words can
no
fix
words
it.
Yeah. are going to take it away. And just saying, I'm sorry, is sometimes enough.
I think that that is important to realize that, yeah, you're not gonna fix it. And even if you've experienced it, you know, I've said this in other podcasts, like I've had three and I still don't know the right thing to say because it's a unique pain and you don't want to take that away from people. I think that's really important. I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, you said you've learned to listen and you've learned a little bit more there on how to confront people or talk to people who are experiencing loss. What do you feel more equipped now, and sort of in what ways that if a friend were to go through a loss, how has sort of your experience with the Early Pregnancy Loss Association helped equip you for another loss?
It's been more comfortable to me in the sense that I don't have to have the answers. It's okay to say I don't know. It is so common. And I'm very fortunate that I don't have anyone in my immediate family circle who has experienced this, but it is very common. And I hope that more people will talk openly about it. But I would go into conversations and assume that I would know that they would be feeling pain or that they would be feeling confusion, or that I would imagine some people in some situations perhaps feel relief. I don't know, but I just don't know what their feeling is going to be. So going into this, knowing that I don't know and being okay with that. What was uncomfortable to me was I can't talk to this person because I don't know what they're going through, so I can't talk to them. And quite honestly, that's true. I can't talk, but I can listen. I can hear their story, and anything that they tell me is going to give me a better understanding the next time somebody wants to talk to me about this or lean on a shoulder or just not talk and just let me cry for a little bit. I can be okay with that if I just stop talking, stop trying to fix the situation, and let somebody feel whatever they're feeling, whatever it may be. It will be logical and it will be rational even when it feels nothing like that.
I think it's important to note that people, at least, and I mean, at least I feel this way too, as someone who has had loss, I would be happy to have a friend who has not had loss support me as well as a friend who has had loss, right? Like, I don't want people, you know, like in your situation, you might have been like, right, I can't say anything because I haven't been there. But I think we would say, that's okay, you can still listen, you know, you can still be there. It just sort of as, you know, if someone lost a sibling or something, right? Someone may not have that exact experience, but you can still support them. And, you know, we still want the support from all the friends, no matter what they've experienced.
I think that's true. I remember really just wanting to be seen. And even sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes I didn't necessarily want to hear from the people that have had losses because I wasn't interested. This may sound awful, but in the raw of it, like, no, this was my baby. We are not talking about your loss, your baby, your experience. You know, that didn't always bring me comfort. There are places and times that brought me a lot of comfort. And knowing that my experience wasn't, and not even just like the grief, but knowing that the physical experience, I wasn't the only one to suffer, you know, that kind of trauma. I remember shortly after my second loss and just sort of being overwhelmed with what that physical experience was, talking to a woman who had had a similar experience. And that was comforting. But that was, you know, further down the road and more about that. When it came to that immediate grief of I lost a baby, like that was about all I could see. And comparing loss, you know, didn't always bring me comfort. Mm-hmm. Other people's stories might either be like, you start comparing pity, mm-hmm. and that's not comfortable. Well, I have more right to grieve than, you know, or, oh my gosh, your story is so much more traumatic or tragic than mine. And then that's not really healing. Not that we shouldn't all struggle through and try to talk. Like mm-hmm. I said, I think there's an important time and place that we come together and share that experience. Mm-hmm. But what I want everyone to hear me say is there's, I think what Maria was saying, right? Like there's a space for all the voices mm-hmm. and all the friends.
I think another huge thing that where friends can be helpful, whether or not they've had loss with our organization, is to request care kits on behalf of that friend who's had a loss, right? That's like a concrete thing you can do, you know, even if it's not something you've experienced, but you know a friend who's going through it, you can request a kit from us and we'll send it to them, the person who needs it. And that's a great way to help without, you know, if you're not sure what to do.
Right. And I think, Robin, we've talked a little bit, you know, you were surprised that so many people had loss, but also sort of, I was surprised I had loss, but I want to talk a little bit more about the care kits and sort of what have you learned about miscarriage through helping us, not just about how often it happens in the grief, but sort of what have you learned about miscarriage and the need there since helping us? What other surprises or new things that have sort of come to you while being involved?
A Michael Jackson song is going through my head right now, but the you are not alone feeling, getting that care kit, like this is a kit that people put together by hand and they're being distributed everywhere. That it tells me that this is a need everywhere. This is something that I'm not exclusive in. Other people have taken this journey. I am not the only one. Yes, my grief may be different. My medical situation might be different, but other people have traveled this journey with me and they have thought about everything. They have thought about my medical needs. They have thought about, I just need a journal and a pen and then write things down. And when those flowers from the seeds come up, it reminds me and it's still there. And there are just little bitty things that people have thought about that is going to help me go through this next step. And it's also there for people who, like me, as you said, you know, I'm a parent, I am an aunt, and my child or niece or neighbor has gone through this. And I can't even look at her. I just can't even look at her. I don't know what to do to help her. I want to do something. And the kits are a great way to say, I'm still supporting you. There's still other people out there and you are not alone in this journey. And I would imagine that would be a comfort if nothing else, just to know that I'm not, because it's one of those things. It's like, I would imagine it would be hard to talk about as you're going through it. It's not like you held a baby in your hands and people saw it and held it. Mm-hmm. It's not like you had a parent and people have met them and shook their hand. It's something that is so personal, but it should be discussed. It should be talked about. It should not saying that people should talk about when they don't feel like it, but it's not something that I wish it wasn't so hidden. Mm-hmm. And I wish people felt more comfortable talking about it and making it something that has been relatable, even for people who haven't been there. I wish more people would talk about it.
Mm. Well, and I think it's interesting. You said you worked in geriatrics and you haven't been geriatric.
Not yet.
Not yet. you're not there yet. And, you know, and I think there are all of these other things that we, even if we've not experienced it, we know how to walk through them with people because there's a cultural script, right? No one who walks through, you know, no one in hospice or death counseling has actually died.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure.
We don't have ghosts do that work, yes. You know. but they're still, but they have walked through it with them, but they haven't actually mm-hmm. died. You don't have to be widowed to, you know, care for the widows, right? Like we have all of these cultural scripts and methods of service. Mm-hmm.
For other kinds of death.
For other kinds of death and tragedy and suffering. Mm-hmm. I could list it all, right? Like in a lot of these things, it's actually, you know, it's the people who haven't that serve the people who have, right? So we care for the widows, we care for the orphans, mm-hmm. the least of these. And of course, sometimes there are those that have been there that then come care. But it's not the critical mass of people, right? You know, it's true sort of across the board in charity. So I think it's so important, but we haven't given people a way.
Mm-hmm. Right. Until when we talked about this early, when we were starting, that there wasn't a social script for miscarriage, right? Or the social script was, I'm sorry, but keep it to yourself sort of a thing. Right, and so that's what we've sort of tried to change and provide, you know, both a script and an action for people to help those who've gone through it.
Right. Or really bad platitudes. Like you said, the mm-hmm. things you were inclined to say were probably not the things you should be saying. Mm-hmm. But we haven't given people funerals and burials or rituals or, you know, and I think we've started to. Things mm-hmm. like the walk of remembrance. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. And a lot of things we've talked about, like on the blog, right? Like, you know, advice about how to actually bury your miscarried baby and ways to remember them and other ways for family and friends to support and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important that we have a way. And it's been so interesting that we don't. Mm-hmm. And that there's not, you know, if I want to support any other charity, domestic abuse, you know, mm-hmm. foster care, you know, death. All of these, I know what to do. I've never done that. I've never mm-hmm. experienced them. And there's some nitty gritty that I, of course, don't know mm-hmm. what to do. But I know how to support the charities and I think death specifically. I'm getting a little distracted and talking, I think, about two things mm-hmm. at one time. But yeah, you don't have to know exactly. Mm-hmm. But I think all the difference is we have the rituals for people to jump into. Mm-hmm.
As a friend, Robin, what would you say to someone who's listening who maybe also has not experienced loss, but they find out that a friend of theirs has? What would you say this listener should do? What can they do sort of concretely in a few steps to help that person?
There are two that jump out to me. The first one would be obviously get them a care kit. That's just my automatic go-to right now is to, like I said, even a indirect support of necessary items. The care kits are mm-hmm. full of information that can be helpful to the individual. But additionally, reaching out to them and saying, I don't know how you feel, but I am here for you if you want to talk. Mm-hmm. If you just want somebody in the room to just sit with me and not talk, please, I don't want to talk about this. Do you want to be distracted? I would suggest asking them, mm-hmm. how, where are you? Before we jump into this and I say, oh, well, this is what my friend went through and this is how she resolved it. And so this is what you need to do. You know, you were saying earlier about people who've had that journey. Well, this is exactly the steps that I went through to fix it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a different situation for everybody. And I would say, first of all, ask if they want to be distracted. Take them to a movie, go mini putting, go out and get them distracted if that's what they want. If they just want to sit and cry, get a box of tissues and cry together. Just walk the journey with them. Or if they just say, I need space and I want to be left alone, you know, give them their space and allow them to process what they're going through. But just, I would just say, be available and ask mm-hmm. before you assume, you know, making the critical error of, oh, it was meant to be, or there's a better place, or right. all right. those stereotypical things that we're inclined to say in the moment. Filter yourself mm-hmm. and just find out what they need to hear first.
I think that asking is so important. I think we have a tendency to keep our distance. Mm-hmm. And not just from those in pain, like just from people sometimes. We're not always, you know, good at being a little intrusive. And I don't think asking is particularly intrusive, mm-hmm. but and you know, then be happy to answer the call, whatever it is. You know, sometimes it may just be picking up milk and bread from the store. You know, some of those crisis situations, if they've got kids, if they've got, I know since having kids, whenever there's even a mild crisis, all of a sudden, every little task, like picking up milk and bread from the store, feels utterly impossible. But if we don't, nothing moves forward. Mm-hmm. And all we want is that cereal and we can't eat anything else in the house. You know, and it may be dropping it off on the steps or it may be coming in. But I think we've got to
ask how we can help.
Ask. And I think, too, I want to clarify this a little bit. Ask, but ask specifically. Because I think it's important in grief. What do you need is sort of, I have no idea what I need. Mm. The world is spiraling out of control. Mm-hmm. Maybe giving a couple choices.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Can I bring you? I'm at the store right now. What can I bring you?
Yeah.
And it may be, I'm craving a snack pack. Please bring me a pudding snack pack.
Yeah.
And that may have just made their day without a pudding snack pack.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I know we were in a different situation, but a rough situation. You know, someone said, what can I bring you from the store? And it was like, I need grapes and my daughter's milk. Mm-hmm. And like, I need that. I can't get it. Like, that's all I need. Mm-hmm. And those little things are huge. So, and it's not just buying groceries, but I think that specific ask
it's a concrete example. And to not feel like silly for asking that, right? I mean, the worst that someone can say is, no, I don't need anything.
Right.
You know, they're not going to be, I would hope maybe someone would not be offended that you're asking, but to not be afraid to ask. Because I think that's where a lot of us get stuck is being afraid to say, can I help you in this way? Or can I help you in this way? You know, for fear of, I don't know what, rejection, but the worst they could say is no.
Well,
and you may actually end up helping a lot.
Well, yeah. And following their lead, I think, you know, you reach out with a how are you? We just assume so much, I think, right? Mm-hmm. So follow the lead. Reach out with how are you? And if they just start spilling, like clearly they needed to talk. Mm-hmm. And keeping that communication open is important.
And I would also say don't be intimidated, because if you open the floodgates and they want to talk, don't be intimidated. Don't let that prevent you from asking, because you go, oh, well, I've never walked this path. I don't know what to say to them. I hope they don't start going. Just let them talk. They don't necessarily need you to respond at all. Mm-hmm. And like you said, even if you don't say, I'm here for you if you want to talk, because if you're not in a position to listen, that's okay. You can help in other ways. You know, oh, I meant to shovel my driveway and now I can't get to it. Okay, I'll shovel your driveway for you.
Or just look out the window, and if their driveway isn't shoveled, run just and do it.
Yeah.
We've had some of those. So I think, there's just so many ways. And I think, too, we've talked about this before. Like, what is your established relationship with that person? Is this someone who you just, like, don't knock and walk in? If it is, then keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they say, you're probably close enough that they'd be like, go away, I need space. If they need space, or they'd be like, I'm glad you're here. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not, I don't think it's bad to pull closer, you know, in the middle of tragedy, but at the same time, it doesn't have to totally change.
Mm-hmm.
If this is someone you're really candid with and close to, then stay that way. They probably want that from you too. More than they want your experience, they want your friendship.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think is important. I think we've talked about some really great and good ways to support friends. So thank you, Robin, for answering my call once again. Robin, anytime. Can you do this? I don't think I can. I don't know. And I'm like, I think you can.
And then I don't know anything about this.
But I've always been, do it anyway. If you're willing to, are you willing to do it? That's been our conversation for the last 5 years. And I think we're better for it. So thank you for your willingness to put yourself out there for the last 5 years and for this conversation. We really appreciate having you.
And thank you for having this organization.
Thank you for listening to Hope Blooms, a podcast from the Early Pregnancy Loss Association.
To learn more about how we and you can support women suffering early pregnancy loss, visit our website at miscarriagecare.com or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for listening.